Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. Last month, 50 Muslims were killed in a terrorist attack on a mosque in New Zealand. Last Sunday, more than 240 were killed in multiple bombings in Sri Lanka. Christians celebrating Easter appeared to be targeted. ISIS has claimed responsibility. The white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, 2 years ago, began with chants of "Jews will not replace us," and Jewish cemeteries, even here in Pennsylvania, have been vandalized. Religious beliefs and faith played a role in the minds of both those who committed the violent acts and those who were targeted. The 11th annual Commonwealth Interfaith Service Prayers for Justice and Peace event next Monday at 6 at the Hadi Mosque in Harrisburg brings Central Pennsylvanians of many religious, ethnic, and racial backgrounds together to pray for peace and justice. Joining us to tell us about the event and talk about a lot more today is our guest, Reverend Sandy Strauss, Director of Advocacy and Ecumenical Outreach with the Pennsylvania Council of Churches. Reverend Strauss, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us, Scott.
Also joining us today is Aisha Noor, social justice advocate and interfaith chairperson and organizer with the Islamic Society of Greater Harrisburg. Ms. Noor, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, and good morning.
Morning. Jen Ross is the president and CEO of the Jewish Federation of Greater Harrisburg. Ms. Ross, welcome to the show as well.
Thank you, and good morning, Scott.
If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. You can leave a question or a comment on WITF's Facebook page, on Twitter. We are at Smart Talk WITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Sandy Strauss, let me start with you. Tell me about the Commonwealth Interfaith Service.
We started the Commonwealth Interfaith Service in 2009, feeling that it was time for an event that included all of Pennsylvania's diverse faith traditions. We do this in observance of the National Day of Prayer. And that event has grown over the years. We have gone from maybe four or five different faith traditions to at least eight, nine, ten every year. We have a lot of different representations of prayer, music, dance, chant, drumming, and of course, spoken and silent prayer. Those are all the things that we have done to help people understand that we don't all pray the same, but we all do share a common humanity and a desire for justice and peace.
Mm-hmm. Aisha Noor, why do you participate? Why do you participate in the interfaith service?
Because I share the common desire for peace and justice for all, and I think interfaith is communicating with each other is very important. And that when the first time I attended that, I was so inspired to see all the diverse, people and faith celebrating their faiths and religion, and people singing, chanting with their different languages, and even doing it in silence. That was so inspiring, but they all had the same message of unity, peace, and justice. So that was uplifting, and that inspired me to be part of this as well.
When you say inspired, I mean, I think you kind of touched on it, but inspired to what?
Inspired to be part of this journey, inspired to be part of this path, and inspired to be, doing more to bring people together, doing more to not only enjoy myself, the diversity of this great Commonwealth in Pennsylvania, but also bring people together to see the strength we have in diversity, and not just caught held in the differences we have, but see that as an opportunity to learn from each other and also appreciate the commonality we have and go for the common goal of peace and justice for all.
What have you learned? When you say you to learn from one another, what have you learned from others, different ethnic, racial, and religious backgrounds?
I learn all the time, like especially from these two lovely ladies, like Reverend Sandy and Jen. Whenever we are talking, and when we don't interact with each other, we don't know what they are about. We hold our maybe stereotypes and opinions that we hear on the radio or media or hear from other people, but unless we interact with actual people from other faith, we don't know what they're talking about. And Jen and I are also part of the Sisterhood of Salam Shalom. And when we are having a conversation, so many times something come up and we're like, oh, we do that too. And Jen or somebody else will say, oh, that's our tradition as well. That is so exciting. And it's the same thing with, you know, our Christian brothers and sisters as well. Mm-hmm. We all stand against violence. We all stand for peace and justice. We all want to stand up for, you know, people who are oppressed and speak up for them. So we all share that. And I learned that every day. And I try to stand with those who share that common idea of hope and bringing peace. And not here in Pennsylvania, but around the world.
Mm-hmm. So, Jen, we'll also ask you the same question. Why do you participate? What do you get out of it?
Aisha's already expressed so much of it so beautifully, but what I can add is it really refills my cup. You expressed some really troubling, horrific things that have happened in our world, and it reminds me that those are really the extremists. That's not the general public. That's not the good people of faith. And those are the people who come to the Commonwealth Interfaith Service. Those are the people who really do have a good, devout faith, who really care about the world, who care about their common people. And it's refreshing and inspiring and helpful to be around people. I love hearing the music, the dance, the prayers, the insightful things that people share. I've made a lot of friends through the work that we do. Aisha and I also participate in a group called Community Responders Network that deals with local hate and bias. And at times that can be overwhelming, dealing with that. And to have an opportunity to deal with our interfaith sisters and brothers in a really positive and uplifting moment is really important.
Aisha said that we all want the same thing. We all want peace and justice. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's not true. Everyone at the Interfaith Service, that may be the goal, but just as we talked about some of these horrific events over the past month or so, people calling themselves Christians, people calling themselves Muslims, or I even heard a story on NPR the other day of Hindus, an attack in India, that not everyone is looking for that peace and justice. How do you bring the people who may have that hate in their hearts to an event like yours or events like that around the world, or maybe just that thinking?
I think all we can do is extend a hand and words of love and welcome. For Christianity, it's really all about hospitality and compassion. We would love to have our neighbors come and visit us. We cannot force anyone to do that. But one of the things that I would like to say is I think if we truly call ourselves Christians, i.e. followers of Christ, what that means is that we act in ways that Jesus would have acted. Jesus welcomed the stranger. Jesus welcomed all of those who lived on the margins of his society. He treated people with love and respect, and that is what I think that we should be doing as well. I would add, too, that I think across our traditions, we all share the notion that we should love our neighbor as ourselves, and that we should treat others as we wish to be treated. And so that is the thing that I think drives all of us and that drives us to welcome and invite those, even those who may not think the same way as us, to come and experience what it's like to feel that kind of compassion and love in a setting like our service.
Jen Ross, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about this. And by the way, I follow your lead, so wherever the conversation has taken us, by the way. I mentioned that white supremacist rally in Charlottesville almost 2 years ago, where they started off with their tiki torches chanting, "Jews will not replace us." Someone who is anti-Semitic, who says, has hatred for the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. How do you approach someone like that and say, "Let's talk. Let's get some understanding here. Let's talk about what our commonalities are, and let's talk about why you don't like the Jewish people."
I think in most cases, people like that have perhaps never met a Jewish person. And that's pretty common because we are a very small minority of the population in the United States. And I think when they do get to understand what our actual beliefs are and we can dispel what their misconceptions are, because that's a question asked, like, well, why don't you like Jews? What issues do you have? What concerns do you have? Those are the types of things that if they're willing to listen and willing to understand, that can help out. As part of our operations at the Federation, we run the Jewish Community Center, and one of our major programs is we have an early learning center, and at the Jewish Community Center, everyone is welcome, and we have a diverse population that we serve, and many of the children at our early learning center are not Jewish. And it is so beautiful to see when we have holiday Jewish holiday programs, seeing non-Jewish families come and really celebrate with us. Because, as we said earlier, there are so many commonalities. There's so many things that the Jewish values are not different than Muslim and Christian and other faith values. We all, like Sandy said, we all care about the neighbors. Like Aisha said, we all love one another. We aren't here, if we are truly people of faith, we are not here to hate one another. So when I would approach somebody with hatred towards Jews, I would try to find out, you know, what is it that they believe that we've done wrong.
Even if they may want to cause you harm.
Fortunately, I have not yet been in that position.
But I hope you never will.
I certainly hope not, but I expect that that probably would be the case. When you asked Sandy earlier about bringing people to the service, I don't know if that's necessarily the priority, because I think you really do have to have these one-on-one conversations for people to have that understanding. And I think the Commonwealth Interfaith Services main focus is for people who really need to find solace and peace and unity. However, I would welcome people, if there are people listening who don't necessarily recognize the beauty and value in the interfaith community and want to learn more about people that they don't understand, it's a really ideal opportunity to see that.
Hmm. Aisha, I'm curious. When someone sees you in public, your head is covered, your job, you're wearing, and obviously people will see that, they notice it. Have you ever had people walk up to you in the street and ask questions or maybe even say hateful things?
Yeah, and I experienced like both, because I recently started to wear hijab. Mm-hmm. So I have seen people's reaction before as well and after as well. So some people who knew me before didn't ask me anything. Some people did. They asked me, okay, if you're getting married or if someone died in your family, or like, why are you doing that? Some people passed some remarks based on the hijab I wear. Some of my other sisters and friends who wear hijab, they have also experienced some hateful remarks that people have said to them. And there are also some people, like just last week I was at Giant, I was getting out and a beautiful woman came up and she was like, you look beautiful in your hijab. Mm-hmm. So just like, you know, these kind of like a small kind gestures that you make, just seeing other person as a normal human being, that if I, you know, see other person, I was like, okay, you know, I like your shirt, or like, what are you having? Or we are having the same coffee. So just, you know, getting on those commonalities that we have, and not see each other based on the biases that we develop in our heads.
Mm. And Aisha and her sisters do look beautiful in their hijab.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So Sandy, we've talked about your faith, but what other religions, what other faiths will be there at the interfaith service?
We will have representatives from, of course, the three Abrahamic traditions,
right.
The Jewish,
mm-hmm.
the Muslim, and Christian, several different types of Christianity, and a couple of different types of from Islam. But we also have Buddhist, Hindu, Baha'i. We have the Unitarians, who really don't fit into any category. The Sikhs are not going to be offering a prayer at the service, but they are sponsors of the service. So we have quite a variety that will be available. And we have Christian traditions from Roman Catholicism to missionary Baptist. So it's quite a range. Mm.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. You can check out some of the upcoming topics for Smart Talk at WITF.org/smarttalk. Some of the shows we're working on include getting into college the right way rather than paying someone $500,000 to do it, tick and mosquito testing, and news from the state capitol. We invite you to share your questions. You can do it in advance by sending us a voice memo or leaving a voicemail. See what's coming up at WITF.org/smarttalk. Talk. Today we're talking about Commonwealth Interfaith Service that will be held at the Hadsi Mosque in Harrisburg. That is Monday, right? I'm losing track of my dates. The 29th
yes.
at 6 o'clock, right?
Yes.
Okay. And talking about the different faiths in the world and the different religions, the backgrounds of the people who will be participating. It is a prayer for peace and justice. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. You can leave a question or a comment on WITF's Facebook page. On Twitter, we are at SmartTalkWITF. Again, the phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Our guest today, Aisha Noor, social justice advocate and interfaith chairperson organizer with the Islamic Society of Greater Harrisburg, Jen Ross, president and CEO of the Jewish Federation of Greater Harrisburg, and the Reverend Sandy Strauss, director of advocacy and ecumenical outreach with the Pennsylvania Council of Churches. Again, 1-800-729-7532. I want to switch gears for just a moment. Last month, a state representative stood up at the Capitol and recited a prayer that evoked the name of Jesus almost 36 times. Now, this happened to come on a day when the state's first Muslim representative was being sworn into office. Have to say that the reaction to that from even Christians, there were many Christians who winced at that. First of all, Sandy Krauss, your thoughts on it?
I was one of those Christians who winced when I heard it. As a Christian, I believe that we need to be respectful of people who are practicing other faith traditions. We, especially in the Jewish and Muslim communities, we all can't come from the same source. We all claim to be daughters and sons of Abraham. So we worship the same God. But we also need to understand that we all do this a little bit differently, and we need to respect that and not, I would say, not throw it in the face of others who worship differently than us. I found that it almost felt like this was a weapon and not a prayer. Mm-hmm. And that makes me sad. I feel it gives a lot of Christians a really bad name. But that's not the only reason. As a Christian, I feel that I want to treat my brothers and sisters with respect, and hopefully we can all learn from that situation.
Jen, I saw you nodding vigorously when Sandy said it was almost used as a weapon.
That's how I felt. I was really troubled when I first read about it, and when I actually watched videos of it, it just really horrified me, because this was a very momentous, which had been a momentous and positive occasion, and it really soured, and my heart really felt for her, and it was just really inappropriate, and I saw it as an attack.
Heartfelt for who?
Representative Johnson Howe. Mm-hmm. It was really not appropriate, and I saw it as an attack as well.
Aisha, as a Muslim, and this was the first Muslim representative being sworn in the Pennsylvania House of Representatives, your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with my friends, and for me personally, it was a historic moment, as you said, like the first Muslim woman was getting swearing in, and also she was African American. Mm-hmm. So when the representative who was saying the prayer, first words she said after thanking the speaker, "Let us pray." So when I heard those words and the other people, so I would imagine that that's going to be inclusive. So when you say like us, it's not just me or her praying in by herself, but you're addressing everybody. So I just felt that that made me feel uncomfortable and not welcomed. And from what I heard from other people as well, they felt uncomfortable and not welcome in that moment, that historic moment that could have been very, you know, that could have, we have been celebrating it together. And also for Representative Movita, who had 55 guests with her. Mm-hmm. She had her, you know, elders, her kids, her grandkids there to see that historic moment, to enjoy that. And then seeing that, that was very hurtful. Mm-hmm. And I think many of us have experienced that. Like, you have been in a room and without saying, you know, go out, you have been feel unwelcomed. And without saying that you are less than me, by saying that you are superior, that make the other person feel that you are the second class citizen. And by Representative Movita, though it was a historic moment, I was also inspired by her story. Mm-hmm. So not only the first Muslim woman who was also African American, when I heard her story and all the things that she overcame, mm-hmm. after the death of her father, her brother, her son, getting the degree after 30 year old, achieving all of that, I think that was a big moment. And that was overshadowed by that prayer.
I think it would be hard for anyone to look at that and not feel sorry for her. I don't know whether that's quite the correct emotion to say, but at least feel for her. Mm-hmm. And you know, look at that and, as you said, wince. Sandy, at the Commonwealth Interfaith Service, the prayers that are being said, are they out loud? Are they so everyone can hear them? And are they inclusive?
The way we do things at the Interfaith Service is people from each of the faith traditions offer prayers within their own tradition, but along the lines of calling for justice and peace. We do other parts that are truly interfaith. We have a litany that is woven throughout the service that is written with no specific deity in mind, but calling for those for peace and justice. And those are read by many different voices. So what it does is allow people to experience what it's like to pray in other traditions out loud. In some cases, we will have prayers in Arabic that are translated to English. We'll have prayers in Hindi or another language that are translated to English. But we want people to be able to hear and understand how other people pray. But then we also, in the prayers that we do together, we try to be as inclusive as we can.
Mm-hmm. What does everyone take away from it? I mean, Aisha said that she is inspired. But what do you want everyone to take away from it?
I want people to take away better understanding, better knowledge of our sisters and brothers from other faith traditions. I want people to get to know each other on a personal level. One of the best things I think about this service is we have a reception every year after the service, and whoever the host is provides food and refreshment for folks. And I think the bigger news in this service is when you see people coming together after the service, breaking bread together and talking to each other, and intent conversations between people who are obviously from differing faith traditions. It's really one of the most beautiful parts of this work.
Mm. For that reception afterwards, do you ever hear people say, "I didn't know that," or "I learned something," as you all have said today, that I learned something about your faith?
I think people do walk away feeling that. And I've also had people walk away saying, "This is the most uplifting experience I have had over the past year, and I will be back." And attendance has grown every year as people have shared that with their friends and neighbors.
I want to ask the three of you, and I know that I'm kind of going in different directions with this, but what do you, Reverend Strauss, let's start with you. What do you want people to know about your Christian faith?
I want people to know that my own Christian faith calls for me to extend hospitality, to welcome the stranger, and that can be anybody. That, in fact, is the theme of our service this year, is welcoming strangers. Anyone who is unknown to us in any way, and that can be even family members, not just people from other faith traditions. We need to have compassion for those whose journeys may be different than ours. And we need to love our neighbors. And I think in some cases, as Jesus calls us to do, love our enemies. That's the most difficult part, and that's the part I struggle with the most. But I feel that we are called, that I am called as a Christian, to love my neighbor and extend compassion and work for peace and justice.
Aisha Noor, what do you want people to know? I mean, there are a lot of people who don't know a lot about Islam. What do you want them to know?
First of all, I would tell them to talk to a Muslim and get to know that religion on the first-hand basis. And then, and I'm just speaking on my behalf, sharing my own experience. I'm not speaking on behalf of 1.6 billion people. And I would just say that, you know, as just Sandy said, that the faith that I believe in, that I have learned from my parents and from the Book of Quran and from my elders, tells me to love my neighbors and to treat others with integrity and respect. And not only those who are kind and respectful to you, but even those who are not. And there is a verse in Quran, very beautiful, that whenever I struggle, I reflect to that, which says that good deeds and bad deeds are not alike. Repel evil with good, then he who is your enemy will become your best friend.
Jen Ross.
The requirement to welcome the stranger comes from the Old Testament, from Judaism. So that is something that we also have involved, but something, this isn't necessarily something that all Jews focus on, but something that has really propelled me in my life is the concept of tikkun olam, which is repairing the world. And the concept is, if you destroy one world, one person, you destroy the world. If you save one person, you save the world. And I think that's what really drives a lot of Jewish people to social justice and to caring. And as I mentioned earlier, I think it's just important for people who've never met somebody Jewish to get to know Jewish people and understand that if you meet one Jew, you've met one Jew, to meet like lots of people in the community. And I encourage people to come to the Jewish Community Center to get to know us. Like I said, everybody's welcome at the Jewish Community
Aisha,
Center.
Aisha, you want to say something?
Yeah, I just want to say, like, in general, we need to address like hatred and intolerance in our communities and in our neighborhoods. I feel like it's like a flame that you see it from the distance and you see like it's not going to harm you. But if you don't address with love and kindness, it spreads like a wildfire and it hurts and burns everybody. We have seen it, what happened in Pittsburgh, in New Zealand, and now in Sri Lanka. And our communities and like my heart goes out to those people. And we are just condemning those attacks and just going out to our brothers and sisters saying that we are there for you. But this pattern and these attacks and these horrific incidents, they got to stop. They're mm-hmm. hurting us and our brothers and sisters and our friends, and we need to stay united for peace and justice and harmony.
And just one quick thing. There is a group that is sponsoring a training on civil conversations on May 19th. I would encourage anyone who is interested to go to the Lutheran Advocacy Ministry in Pennsylvania website, which is where the registration is. It is from 1:30 until 4:15 on that day, and this would be a wonderful opportunity to learn how to do this better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
So I will also mention that tomorrow is actually Race Against Racism, and I will be at the Soldiers Grove, and we are actually doing an interfaith, and we are partnering up with Lord Susquehanna Synod. So that's another opportunity for us and our Christian brothers and sisters. We will be standing there sharing the same message to welcoming the stranger and loving our neighbors, and I welcome all of you and all the listeners to please come and talk to us and have a wonderful day.
I know that, again, I'm going to apologize somewhat for a disjointed conversation because I'm kind of of following your lead. But we did have a question here from a listener, and I'm just going to kind of translate his question because we are running out of time for the this segment of the program. I think all faiths, but yours in particular, that the part of the belief is that your faith, that your religion, that your God is the only way. Mm. And Sandy, I see you shaking your head, but that yours is the only way. And let's face it, there are some of these people who are hateful and intolerant and do it in the name of religion. That is one of their main beliefs, is that this is the way. If you are not a Christian, you are not a Muslim, you are not a Jew, that you're wrong, and that I have somehow have a right to hate you. What do you say to that?
I would say for Christians who believe that, follow the lead of Jesus, who welcomed everyone. He did not turn away people who were different than him. Think of the story of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritans were the most hated by Jews in that time, and he told the parable of the Good Samaritan, and the Good Samaritan was actually the one who was the neighbor of the man who was attacked and left to die.
Aisha, and I'm not going to single you out, but let's face it, there are a lot of people in this country who are anti-Muslim. They've heard the term jihad, and they've heard people who are non-believers in Islam called infidels. So when those people have carried out some atrocities, again, I'm not asking you to answer for 1.6 billion people, but this is obviously something that there are some Americans, there are some people who ask that question, well, if this is a religion of love, how could these people do this?
I think throughout the history, if we look, there are people who have carried out attacks and they have blamed their religion.
Well, the Crusades, I think back, in the 1400s.
So if you look at the scriptures, and I'm not a scholar, but to my understanding, in all the scriptures, if you can pick out a verse out of context and you can blame that verse and you can say, it can be like any religion. Mm-hmm. And your perception could be that, oh, I'm doing it for my God. But that is not true. Especially like speaking as a Muslim, God tells us to love each other. Taking one life is taking like whole humanity. Saving one life is like saving whole mankind. And you can also not take your own life. So how can people go and do this bombing and just say that you're doing it for the God? They are not. So you need to understand that, and you can also not let that one person or two person who are doing it for their personal gain or who are like twisted or not mentally,
stable,
mm-hmm. carrying out this attack, and we can condemn the whole religion. We punish that whole community just based on that one person. And if you looked at the FBI and other statistics, they will tell you that most carried out attacks are not by people. Even those people who are carrying out those attacks and they are saying that they are Muslims, they do not share my belief. They do not share my values that my religion and my parents and my elders have taught me.
Mm. The misuse of scripture is another whole conversation that would be a wonderful one to have at some point.
Well, why don't we do that? We'll have a program sometime talking. But the Commonwealth Interfaith Service is when and how can people attend and participate, Sandy?
The Commonwealth Interfaith Service is on Monday, April 29th. It is at the Hattie Mosque. It's at 6 p.m. And all you need to do is show up. We would love to see you there.
Thank all of you for being with us today.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. By the way, listen, on Monday, you've heard about that scandal having to do with some well-to-do people bribing or paying huge sums of money to get their kids into prestigious colleges. We'll be talking about how it is supposed to be done. And no, it does not involve paying $500,000 to get your child into a college. Plus, you can leave a voicemail or voice memo question for one of our upcoming programs. More information is at WITF.org/smarttalk. Welcome back to Smart Talk. The 2019 Pennsylvania Poetry Out Loud state champion competes next week in the national contest in Washington, D.C. Jordan Marie Lewis is a Hershey High School sophomore who competed against nearly 5,700 other students and eventually 15 state regional finalists to earn the top spot. There were 118 Commonwealth schools in this year's competition. Poetry Out Loud encourages students to learn about poetry through memorization, performance, and competition. Joining us today is Jordan Marie Lewis, the Pennsylvania Poetry Out Loud champion. And Jordan, I have to say congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And by the way, we are going to hear a performance by Jordan in just a few minutes, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yes.
Gail Gluck is the state coordinator for Poetry Out Loud. Gail Gluck, thank you for being with us today.
You bet.
And finally with us is Colette Silvestri, who is the teacher and Poetry Out Loud coach at Hershey High School. Colette Silvestri, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. You can leave a question or a comment on WITF's Facebook page, on Twitter. We are at SmartTalkWITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. I know everyone wants to hear from Jordan, but Gail Gluck, as the state coordinator for Poetry Out Loud, provide a little bit of background, if you would. What is Poetry Out Loud?
As you said, it's the National Memorization Recitation Contest that was designed by the National Endowment for the Arts and the Poetry Foundation. And in all 50 states and the three American territories, it is implemented by the state arts agencies. Here in Pennsylvania, I work with 15 regional partners who help recruit the schools, those 118 schools that you talked about, to participate. And they bring students from the participating schools to their region for the regional competition. And the regional champs then move on to the state finals here in Harrisburg.
Mm-hmm. So how does it work? How does the competition work?
Much like the National Spelling Bee.
Okay.
They have a classroom competition. Those winners go to their school competition. Those winners go to the regional competition. And then they come to the state competition. And all 53 state and territory champions go to Washington, D.C. to participate in the national competition with the goal of looking at some of that $50,000 in scholarships.
$50,000?
Yeah.
Jordan, that would look good, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
So from what I understand, each competitor, three poems that they memorize and perform. Is perform the right word?
We use
or recite.
It. We use it because it's the first thing that comes to mind. Recitation is different than theatrical performance. We were actually having that conversation a little earlier. It's really more about the poet. The poet's voice. But recitation, yes, is the more accurate term. The kids have to choose three poems from the online anthology that have all been vetted by the Poetry Foundation and the poets or their producers. One poem has to be 25 lines or fewer. One has to be...
Haiku?
I'm
joking.
I'm not sure we got any haiku.
No, three lines, I don't think so.
No.
575.
They have to choose a poem that is pre-20th century, so one of the true classics. And then the third poem that is certainly open to them, and there are a lot of really new, exciting, contemporary works that have been included in the anthology.
Mm-hmm. So, Jordan, you're from Hershey High School. You're a sophomore.
Yes, I am.
So, what three poems did you choose?
I chose Art Versus Trade by James Weldon Johnson, I Sit and Sew by Alice Moore Dunbar Nelson, and lastly, Revenge by Letitia Elizabeth Landon.
How did you choose them?
Well, I went through the anthology, I sat down, I really went through all the poems with my teacher, and I just tried to find material that I really felt connected with and that I felt that I could bring something to. And these were the three poems for me.
So you say three that you felt connected to.
Right.
What connected you to these three?
Right. Well, I connected to them for different reasons. I Sit and Sew, it's such a powerful such a powerful poem. I'm actually going to recite that one today.
Okay.
But it's so simplistic, and I was really drawn to the language that the poet used to convey what she felt and what she was passionate about. Art versus trade, I felt that I personally related to that poem. It's kind of about the arts and how the arts are dying in many ways, and education, and how people underappreciate the arts and what they can do for people, how they can change people's lives. And I've been invested in the arts my whole life, singing, dancing, acting, and I was really drawn to the subject matter of that poem.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, Revenge. Oh, that poem is so good. I love the language used, the Old English. That one is my more classical poem. And I really appreciated the intensity that's found in it.
Mm. You said earlier that one, you felt that you could recite a little bit better, but then you also said that you related to it. What's more important as you're choosing these three, that you can relate to it, that you have a passion for it, that you... You said that you felt these poems, or that, you know, do you take all those things into consideration?
Definitely, definitely. When I recite and when I perform, you always want to have a connection with the audience. You always want to leave the audience thinking, and you want people to feel something. And I thought that was really important going into this. I wanted something that I was able to really work with in a way that people, I could get a reaction out of people. And I think words are so powerful, but it's really what you bring to it and the emotion and the intent behind your personal interpretation. So I wanted to find poems I could really relate to and interpret properly so that I was able to really connect with the audiences that I present them.
When you say you want to see a reaction, what kind of reaction do you want to see from the audience?
I just want people to understand, for people to digest what I'm talking about, rather than just, it's me reciting a poem and it's okay and that's it. I want people to think about the words because I find them important. I want other people to realize that too.
All right, so you are going to recite for us. Can I just have you step it up to that microphone? And while you're doing that, I want to turn to Colette Silvestri, who is the teacher and Poetry Out Loud coach at Hershey High School. And I'm assuming that, Ms. Silvestri, that you did coach Jordan. How does one coach for Poetry Out Loud?
For Poetry Out Loud, number first, you have to make students aware that the opportunity is there, and also to really grab them out of the hallway. And some kids who have never even considered reciting or even speaking in public, sometimes I even grab a shy child because of that, to teach them to present themselves before an audience. How you coach is to understand first that I constantly tell them, please connect with it. You're connecting not just with a poem, but a time period, an experience, and the voice of the poet. These are people, many of them have passed on because they have to select pre-20th century. And when you recite a poem, you're reciting a little piece of history. And to appreciate poems, and the students are taught, they have a huge responsibility to continue the arts, to speak you know, if they learn to speak the past, you have yourself one heck of a speaker in the present and possibly the future. So that is why what we do is we break it down into the meter, everything, the meaning, everything, top to bottom.
We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But first, let's hear from Jordan Marie Lewis. Jordan Marie Lewis is Pennsylvania's Poetry Out Loud champion. And Jordan, the poem that you are reciting and the author?
I Sit and Sew by Alice Moore Dunbar Nelson.
Go right ahead.
I sit and sew, a useless task it seems. My hands grown tired, my head weighed down with dreams. The panoply of war, the martial tread of men, grim-faced, stern-eyed, gazing beyond the ken of lesser souls, whose eyes have not seen death, nor learned to hold their lives but as a breath. But I must sit and sew. I sit, and so my heart aches with desire, that pageant, terrible, that fiercely pouring fire on wasted fields, and writhing grotesque things once men. My soul in pity flings appealing cries, yearning only to go there in that holocaust of hell, those fields of woe. But I must sit, and so. The little useless scene, the idle patch, why dream I here beneath my homely thatch when there they lie in sodden mud and rain, pitifully calling me, the quick ones and the slain? You need me, Christ. It is no roseate dream that beckons me, this pretty futile scene. It stifles me. God, must I sit? And so?
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Amazing.
It really was. If you could, you want to grab your other seat there, and we'll.
You're jealous, aren't you? I get to hang out with this kind of talent.
I really am.
I got the best gig in Pennsylvania. <I'm>
I have to tell you that. I mean, first of all, it was just beautiful.
Yes, thank you.
But the passion and the emotion on your face is just incredible. I mean, I wish I could describe it to our audience because, I mean, you went from a transformation. You're sitting here smiling now. But this transformation you went through as you kind of looked ahead and changed the emotions on your face, yes. Incredible.
Thank you.
How much of that is part of the contest of being judged?
You know, we have really rigorous criteria by which we train the judges to assess each recitation. And what you're talking about is an overall performance, but the component that you seem to be specifically relating to is the dramatic appropriateness, and that is directly related to how the student internalizes the poet's intent. She knows this woman's complete frustration, and it shows on her face.
It really did. It really did. I felt like I was there. By the way, we have a listener, Judy, who asked, can you please mention the website of the National Anthology that the students draw from?
Sure. It's poetryoutloud.org. And you'll see a strip, a menu running along the top, Help Me Find a Poem. And it's organized alphabetically by poems or by poet.
Is it a good source for someone who loves poetry to just go?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is an exquisite resource, and it actually changes. Some poems may have been overused and whatnot, and they refresh them. And as they said, they actually add more contemporary voices as years go on, and it's great to see new poets there and new voices.
We only have a minute or so left, and I want to thank all of you for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Jordan, when are you going to Washington for the national competition?
We are leaving Monday.
Monday?
Yes.
When is the competition?
I compete first Tuesday. Yes.
Are you nervous?
I'm more excited than nervous.
Mm. Confident?
Yes, I am.
I can see why.
Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you very much. Congratulations. Jordan Marie Lewis is Pennsylvania's Poetry Out Loud champion. Gail Gluck, the state coordinator for Poetry Out Loud. Colette Silvestri, teacher and Poetry Out Loud coach. She's the Vince Lombardi of Poetry Out Loud at Hershey High School. Hey, thank you very much for being with us today, and we'll be rooting for you. Is there any way we could find out what's going on? I mean, is it online?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
How do you do that?
Go to the Poetry Out Loud website, poetryoutloud.org, and look for, or type in the search, viewing party, and you will be able to hook up and watch the regional competition, which Jordan will be in Tuesday morning starting at 9 o'clock, and the finals will be Wednesday night starting at 7:30.
All right. We'll have a whole rooting section for you here in
you.
Central Pennsylvania. Thank you very much
Thank
for being
so
with
much.
Us today.
Thank you so much.
Coming up on Monday's program, we're going to be talking about admissions into college, and that's coming up on Monday's show. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday.